You're listening to the WHO podcast, and my name is Veronica Rima. In this episode, as we mark International Women's Day, we look at discrimination against women in education, in how women receive healthcare, and how armed conflict takes a tragic toll on the lives of women. International Women's Day provides us with not only an opportunity to celebrate the achievements of women in business and communities around the world, but also to pause and reflect on those still facing discrimination, those without healthcare, and women living with violence and struggling for the basic securities in life. Sora Rasek is a member of the United Nations Committee on the Elimination of Discrimination Against Women, who has conducted studies on the health and human rights of women in Afghanistan. She tells us about progress over the past decade.
Women's access to education has improved again in comparison to 5 years ago and 10 years ago when Taliban were in Afghanistan, and no girls and women were allowed to go out of their home and work or go to school. We have a large number of women as teachers at schools, and women are also in the executive branch of the government, in the judicial branch, and the legislature, in the parliament.
Afghanistan is steeped in traditional beliefs, and passing laws or building schools does not necessarily change the way that women are stereotyped. Ms. Rasek explains that much remains to be done.
I think changing attitudes of men and educating women of their rights and of their responsibilities, because women have equal responsibility as men in the post-conflict countries such as Afghanistan to rebuild the country. So their political participation, equal participation in decision-making and the future of the country is important. But before all that, I think they need their health. They need their mental health, their well-being.
For many women, getting good health care for themselves and their families is a major challenge. Every day, 1,500 women die due to complications in pregnancy or childbirth. 10,000 babies per day die within the first month of life, and an equal number of babies are born dead. Skilled care around the time of birth would greatly reduce the numbers of these needless deaths. Dr. Pius Okong is an obstetrician and gynaecologist at the Nsamba Hospital in Kampala, in Uganda. He explains that although the Ugandan government has opened new health centres in rural areas and trained midwives to provide basic emergency care, many of these centres do not have the equipment and medicines that are needed.
In Uganda, is only about 40 out of 100 women deliver with a skilled attendant present. A skilled attendant here being a midwife or a doctor. So the other 60 out of 100 women would deliver when they are assisted by either a relative or a nurse aide who is not a skilled attendant, or assisted by a neighbor or a traditional birth attendant. And this can occur at home or in the village, in the rural areas.
But discrimination can depend on how rich or poor a woman is. Dr. Okong explains.
When we talk about equal rights, in reality, that's not what we are realizing. What we are seeing is that, for example, if you look at women in the richest 20% of the population, they almost have 100% access to a skilled attendant at the birth. They have more than 70% access to facilities where they can have emergency care. And the number of children they deliver in their lifetime has dropped from 7, now it is about 4. So their statistics, the indicators are very good. But the remaining 3/4 of the women who are not very rich, their indicator, their statistics are still very poor. So already you need to see the disparities in terms of access and even health indicators.
Women are also facing discrimination in their opportunities for education. Bliss Temple from North Carolina in the USA is a medical student who uses a wheelchair because of her disability. She talks to us about the challenges she has faced in taking forward her studies.
When I went to apply to medical school, because of my disability, I knew that it was sort of uncharted territory. So I applied very widely to 28 different schools. about a third of them just rejected me out of hand and said, you're too disabled, we won't even consider your application. And then it ended up that I did get accepted several places, and the school that I chose, Duke University, I was the first person who was a wheelchair user, and I think the first with sort of what many people would classically think of as a disability, although there have been people with mental health problems.
Bliss tells us why it is important for persons with disabilities to be accepted for medical training.
The world of medicine can really use people with disabilities. We are healthcare consumers, of course, and it's really important that we have more providers that understand the experience of having a disability. And I think it's been important for my classmates and even my teachers to have a concrete experience with a person who's an example of what's possible for someone with a disability if they get the right kinds of support and encouragement and have access to good opportunities.
That's all for this episode of the WHO podcast. Thanks for listening. If you would like further information about this subject, please see the links on the transcript page of this podcast. For the World Health Organization, this is Veronica Riemer in Geneva.